You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zger, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We've heard from the defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill, and the special teams coordinator, Chris Tabor. Now it's time to hear from the offensive coordinator of your Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo.
Obviously a heartbreaking game on Monday night. I was proud, by the way, our players fought back. Getting down early and scratching and clawing, I thought it showed a lot of heart of our players. And, we're looking forward to, coming out this week against the Bengals again at home and playing a good football game. We're pleased that Austin Davis will be our starting quarterback this week. He's prepared like the starter since the day he's been here, and I think that's one of the reasons why I think he went out, and played well the other night for us, through the big touchdown pass and came in and gave us a little bit of a spark. Unfortunately, as we all know, Josh McCown was placed on injured reserve. Everyone in this room knows my feelings for Josh, his family, and, it's a total bummer what happened to Josh. And, I think that it shows the character and the toughness of Josh McCown that he, refused to come out of that football game until he was told he had to come out. So, I just can't say enough great things about Josh, and we're so happy that he's a Cleveland Brown and will continue to be a Cleveland Brown. On a side note, I'd like to congratulate Gary Barnage for being the man of the year of the Cleveland Browns and Alex Mack for winning the being our Ed Block recipient. I think it just shows the character of those two guys, both on and off the field.
John, how tough a spot was that for Austin to come in? I think he came in at 3rd and 10 and then...
Yeah. That's like being a relief pitcher coming in with a 3-0 count with the bases loaded. That's about as tough as a situation as you can be in as a quarterback. I think it was 3rd and 9. And, he rushed the throw a little bit, came off. I just said, hey, just take a deep breath. And it was like a tale of two guys. He went out. We got him a completion play. I know it went for 0 yards, but I just wanted to get – he said, hey, Flip, just get me a completion. So we rolled him out, threw the pass to Barnage, and after that, he was great.
Saw enough there that we need to see another quick look at it?
I'm not sure it was that. I just think that, the circumstances provided themselves that, we thought Austin earned this, and, we're excited that he's going to be playing for us this week.
Assuming you dove thoroughly into the body of work with the Rams last year, what were your conclusions off of that study?
I thought Austin's always been a guy I really liked, even coming out of college, when I was in Oakland, and I gave him – and I. Saw him and graded him coming out of the draft. Obviously, I think, when you look at Austin last year, I don't have those stats in front of me. From what I remember from reading about Austin was he put it together some really good games. I think he had 2 or 3 300-yard games. So it's obvious that he can play in this league, and we're happy he's here.
I know you have a different quarterback, obviously, but what can you do? You score 9 points against – or 10 points against the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Just – 4 weeks ago, what can you do to get more?
To get more points?
Yeah.
Well, I think, we need to do a better job. I need to do a better job of getting some completion plays early for the quarterbacks. I think Cincinnati poses a very, good challenge for us because they're a very, very big, long, and physical football team. And, I think we're going to have a better plan. This go around, we know them a little bit better. I know them a little bit better, but I mean, they pose a great challenge. I mean, they're the number 2 or number 1 scoring defense in the league. I mean, there's not a lot of people putting points on them. So, we're going to pick and choose our spots to take some shots and, protect the quarterback and hopefully be a little bit more successful or a lot more successful than we were the first go around.
What does Austin Davis bring to the table from a physical standpoint? And then Mike was praising him about his preparation. So what separates him from other guys who also work
Sure.
hard to prepare?
Yeah, you never know how a guy's going to act until you see him live in a game yourself. What really impressed me was the throw that Austin threw on what we call a circus route, which is an inside stem 15 roll to 18 out cut, the throw right on our sidelines. And whenever a quarterback can drive the football outside the numbers like he did, that's a pretty impressive thing, and throw it on time and accurate. So that's what really kind of was like, you know, opened my eyes a little bit. I was like, wow, that was a really, really good throw. And got us going a little bit. I think Austin's an underrated athlete. I think you saw him get out of trouble there at the end of the game. You know, you saw him slide up with a two-hand ball swipe there when he threw the touchdown pass, and that was a fantastic, which people don't understand on that play, was that was an unbelievable blitz pickup by Duke Johnson. For a rookie to come across the football and see a blitzing safety coming from depth, that was an unbelievable pickup by Duke, which allowed that play to happen, and our offensive line picked up the rest of the blitz. But those are the things I see from Austin that I'm really pleased with.
Was that play at the end of the half where you ended up having to kick the field goal? I think it might have been the third down play. If Josh has another half split second, is it Travis that you're trying to go to coming across the back of the end zone?
Yeah, you know, that was one of our options. The other option was Duke Johnson on the twist route. You know, he crossed the linebacker's face. And I think if we had another split second, I think Josh was going to go to Duke coming back up underneath. But, yeah, both guys were open.
Yeah, Jim O'Neill was just in here, and there's a question about defending something the Ravens did. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, when you have two or three wins, you could be more aggressive on offense. You could take a lot more risk at this time of year. Have you reached that point yet?
You know, I think you always play to what you think the strength of your players are. You know, I think risk, to me, you're always taking risks. It's just the types of risks you're taking. I mean, you know, I don't know. I didn't hear Jimmy in the context that he spoke, so I'm not going to divulge very deeply into this. But to me, I mean, you can take some risks, but there's still calculated risks. You're not just going to go out there and play circus ball and say, yeah, just because we're two and whatever – we're going to go out there and just, you know, throw double reverse passes all day and those type things. But, yeah, I mean, you can open it up a little bit.
With Terrell coming back, how does he look? Does he look like he's healthy? And how long before you think he can do something on a game day?
Terrell looks like he's in great shape. Great shape. I mean, you would never know he wasn't in an NFL building working out and running and doing practicing. I mean, and he's got fresh legs. You know, at this time of year, a lot of the guys that have been here have been playing ball for – he's got fresh legs, so he looks a little bit faster than those guys. But I'm really glad we got Terrell back. I really am. I think Terrell, not only does he provide us a security blanket for the future, for being a big body guy that can run and can catch, but also now, again, with Josh being down, excuse me, he also provides you with the possibility of a third quarterback. And he knows the system. He's been in this system, and so that he provides you a security blanket both at receiver and at quarterback.
Is there enough time within a season for him to make a contribution at receiver, at least get a look on Sunday?
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. Now, I can't tell you he's going to go out there and play this week, but I do think at some point before the season's over, I do think we'll probably see Terrell Pryor in the field. I just don't know if he's mentally ready there yet to divulge into a game plan, Mary Kay, and just say, hey, you know, coming off the street and being out of it for so long. I mean, you got to get into a mental mindset to be able to play in this game. And let's get him back in the building here for a week or two and or three. I don't know. That's up to coach. And we'll see if Terrell can make an impact for us.
We've heard Mike discuss his frustration with the end of the game. Mm-hmm. What's it like when you can't? You're having trouble communicating with – are you communicating directly with Austin?
I am, yeah.
What, can you take us through that?
Yeah, this is exactly what happened. You know, we were obviously on the ball in a two-minute situation, and for some reason, you know, when there's a button, Tom, on the side of your whatever your packet they call it. So you press it, the quarterback can hear you up until 15 seconds left on the play clock, okay? It went out, or it was staticky. It was staticky a lot of the night, so it wasn't just an isolated incident. And the quarterback had a hard time hearing me. I think it was a combination of where we were in the football game and a new quarterback being in there for the first time and us in the situation we were in and the headset going out. So was it just the headset? I don't know. I think it was a combination of a lot of those things. And when you're dealing with a young quarterback that, to me, was playing as good as a quarterback could play in that situation. I mean, kudos to him. But we need to be better there. There's no doubt. And we'll all be better the next go-around. There's no doubt about that.
John, you had three quarterbacks in the last three games essentially seeing time, and then coach saying it's going to be a week-to-week basis on the quarterback decisions. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about it becoming a distraction for your offense?
No, I tell you, we have a very resilient group on offense. I tell you, you know, I challenged our players yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, obviously, it'd be a really easy out for our players on offense saying, hey, we're working on a short week. We just had an unbelievably heartbreaking loss on national television to go out there and mope around and you know, just kind of putz through practice. They did the exact opposite of that. So we're a very resilient group on offense. Whoever's in there at quarterback, whoever's in there at Z, whoever's in there at left tackle, I expect our guys and all 11 guys to go out there and play like a Brown.
How frustrating is it? I mean, that headsets, it seems to me that would be a pretty basic thing mm-hmm. for the league, not just here to get right. How often does this happen and how frustrating is it? Yeah,
it's very frustrating. I wouldn't say it happens a lot. In fact, I think we have the best, we have the best headset crew in the league. I mean, those guys are right on top of it. I mean, there's a guy standing right behind me the whole game, making sure he has a walkie-talkie ready for me if it goes out. So we have the best crew in the league, bar none. But it happens. I mean, it's technology. So if technology goes down, and unfortunately, it was staticky at a bad time.
Last one. Hindsight, but you had to do it again. Do you wish you could just call the timeout after 5 seconds?
You know, Pat, it's not on me as the offensive coordinator to call timeouts, and I'm not trying to pass the buck, but, you know, that's on coach. I know the situation, you know, we've practiced that a lot. We were on the ball, and all of a sudden we're on the ball in formation, and the play's not getting called. So you just wait. It was like slow motion. You're waiting, signals were going out. I mean, we were on the ball. So it was a tough situation on Coach Pettine. It really was. I mean, it was a tough deal for everybody. And sure, you could look back and say, I would have looked back and I wish I would have called 5 different plays or 10 different plays in that game. But it happened. And, you know, would you wish if Austin's been coached up now? Hey, don't slide in bounds. You know, those things. So, again, young players. And young players in a tough situation. And like I said, I thought Austin played as well as he could.
His point was, at that point in time, you're just going to call a timeout anyway. Mm-hmm. Either to run out of bounds or slide and call a timeout. So did it really matter that much?
Well, here's the thing. When you slide, okay, and you're not touched, all right, and you give yourself up, to me, yeah, I'm fine with that if he wants to slide. But I thought he could have run out of bounds another 4 yards. Now, when you give yourself up, when your back touch where your back touches first, that's where you declare yourself down. So, yeah, when he went down, he slid another 4 yards. But where his first initial contact went down is where they blow the ball dead. So that's, to me, where it wasn't the slide to me because we did have timeouts. It was the location of it more so. It was where we needed to be a little bit better.
That's Browns offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. The offense certainly trying to do their part on Monday night. And with all this turnover, all this turmoil, it is amazing that the Browns are on pace right now to have their first pair of 1,000-yard receivers since 2007 when Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow, both first-round picks, accomplished that feat. Now it's going to be Travis Benjamin and Big Play Garrett.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I don't care what the names are. I think it's all in all very impressive.
Big Play Garrett!
Big Play Garrett. Big Play Garrett in his 8th year to have this kind of year is spectacular.
Do you know, off the top of your head, if it was, I wish Gibbs was here so we could play guess the stats with Gibbs. Do you know off the top of your head Gary Barnage's career number? So this year,
I'm going to be in the wheelhouse of what it
entering
is.
Entering this season.
Entering season, I think he has what? 3 touchdowns in his career? Two.
3 touchdowns.
3 touchdowns. Okay. I'm going to say under 30 receptions.
44.
Okay. I was going to say 40. Darn it. And it is what? 179 yards?
603. This year he's got 55, 758.
Yeah, that math doesn't even make up. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He had never had more than 13 catches in a season.
Right.
And in 2009, he had 12 catches.
What was the most yards he had in a season?
242.
Okay. Yeah. And what year was that?
2009.
With Panthers?
Carolina.
Okay. Opposite. Who was the other tight end there?
Before he came to the Cleveland Football Browns, he had a grand total of 322 yards receiving. 320 yards receiving. I'm sorry. 320 yards receiving before he came to the Browns. In his career with the Browns, he's already got 1,041 yards receiving, and 9 of his 10 touchdowns have come with the Browns as well. It's amazing last year when you think about it, he only had 13 catches for 156 yards.
How many of those were big catches, though?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
13 catches for 156 yards last year. 4 for 41, including the fourth down conversion against New Orleans. He had 2 for 46, including the big play down to the goal line that set up a touchdown against the Bengals.
Yeah, I was going to say, many went for a third down conversion, fourth down conversion, or were 10 yards plus?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So his first catch last year was against Pittsburgh, caught a pass for 13 yards on first and 10.
One.
That was it. Then third and 12 for a first down, third and 13 for a first down, third and 8 for 5 yards, not a first down, fourth and 6 for a first down.
Okay, so that's one play.
So that's,
that has not gone for a first down or 10-plus yards.
Yeah. Then he's got incomplete. Against Tampa Bay, second and 9, caught a 13-yarder. First and 10, caught a 3-yarder. Then incomplete. Targeted 18-yarder against Cincinnati, 28-yarder against Cincinnati. 11-yarder, fourth down conversion again, and he had the catch for 15 yards that set up the field goal. His last catch of the year was the catch that set up the field goal to win.
So 2 of 13, one went for 5 yards, one went for 3. Every one was 10 yards or more or converted a third down or a fourth down.
Yeah. Big play. You don't get called big play Gare for nothing, Monfrere.
You get big. He got the big play Gare connotation on 13 receptions.
Yeah, he sure did.
He's got 55 for 758.
He came into this season as big play Gare. He only has He's got next level. Biggest play Gare.
Benjamin's got to have the biggest.
And he also, American football without barriers, he's doing great things around the world. Walter Payton, man of the year. All right, when we come back, final thoughts. We'll wrap it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.